Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our study today in Psalm 51, the sermon that focuses on David's prayer, his desire for a clean heart and a right spirit. And as we revisit this sermon, we have taken a look at 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, and we have looked at the events that led to this prayer that David expresses here in the 51st Psalm. Now, I will be reading from the English Standard Version, and we will pick up in Psalm 51, starting at verse 7, and we will look at David's words from verses 7 through 17. So again, looking at Psalm 51, starting at verse 7, I will be reading from the English Standard Version. And it says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So as we look here where David expresses his desire for God to purge him, to make him clean, to wash him, to make him whiter than snow, his desire for joy and gladness, to rejoice in the presence of God, as it were, and for God to hide his face from his sins and to blot out all of his iniquities. This desire that David expresses for God to create in him, for God to create in him a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within him. This is David's desire as the result of his sin. This is his desire as a result of God sending the prophet Nathan to confront David about his sin. And I say confront. It is a confrontation. Anytime we sin against God, there is a confrontation that must take place. And that is, we are called upon to respond to God's judgment. That is, God judges that we have sinned, and we know that we have fallen short. And in this case, this is what has taken place with David. But the issue here, in addition to the sin, his sin, is the hiding, the cover-up. And all that comes with seeking to hide his sin from God that leads to God sending the prophet Nathan to address David and his sin. And this is what sin is. It's personal. The sin is personal for the sinner, and sin is personal as far as the relationship between the sinner and God. And in this case, we have a man, according to God's own heart, a man who knows what God desires. He knows what God is pleased with, and he knows that sin is not pleasing to God. Sin is an offense to God. And this is what David expresses in his prayer. So when we look at David's words, we had started here in verses 7 through 10, where David expresses his desire to be clean. And we then moved up to the beginning of the psalm, where David we looked at David's need, his need for God's mercy. And then we looked at David expressing the root problem. And he expressed this throughout verses 1 through 5 and in verse 9, where he called sin what it is: transgressions, iniquity, sin, evil. And then we looked at verse 3, where David gives recognition to his sin. We talk about recognizing people, and everybody's looking for recognition, where in this case, David recognizes his sin, that he has rebelled and done evil not just in the sight of God, but against God. And then we have his confession that he expresses in verses 4-6. So this is all tied to David's desire, his need for restoration, his desire to be cleaned. And he realizes that this is a work that only God can do. So this is where we pick up again, or really where we go back to where we started. And that is David's expression concerning his desire to be clean. And again, this is what David has communicated in verses 7-10. So looking at his words, as he says, purge me with hyssop and I should be clean, wash me and I should be whiter than snow. Obviously, this deals with his desire to be pure, his desire to be clean, and he wants to be reconciled to God. So when we offer ourselves to God, as David does in this case, it is a matter of mercy. It is also a matter of acknowledging our sin. It is a matter of confessing our sin. It is a matter of calling our sin what it is. And it is a matter of offering ourselves to God for him to clean us up. This purging and this washing emphasizes the need to be pure, not just the need, but the desire. So we can have a need and we can refuse and not desire what we actually have the need for. So in other words, some people like to stay in sin and they realize they have a need to be cleaned up, but they don't have any desire to be clean. They prefer to be dirty. They want to live a dirty life or dirty lives. They want to continue to wallow in sin. And this is why when we started out here, we spoke about this propensity or this comfort level of those of us who call ourselves believers, this comfort zone of sin. And that is we desire to stay in sin rather than be cleaned up. And then we point to situations like this, the events that transpires in David's life where he sinned, and we say, well, David sinned, and we use that as an excuse to continue in sin. And this is in no way and by no means pleasing to God. You see, David sinned, but God confronted David concerning his sin, and David acknowledged and confessed, and he called upon God to clean him up, to purge him, to wash him. And that's what God calls us to. And this is, again, what is expressed in the scriptures in 1 John, where John says that if we confess our sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is what we need. We need to be purged. We need to be washed. We need to be purified, reconciled to God. And we must offer ourselves to God. We must confess. We must acknowledge. We must know that our only hope is the mercy of God and his steadfast, unchanging love. And this is what David calls upon God for. Clean me up, purge me, and wash me. I offer myself to you to be purified, to be made clean. And so what comes with this, or what follows this, what is the harmony of being clean? There is joy and gladness, and this is what David desires to hear. He desires to rejoice. He desires to know once again the cheer and the happiness, the joy that he has in God, with God. And this is what God gives us. And this is what David desires to hear. And to hear it is to know it. And that's what this refers to. It's not just hearing from a distance. It's knowing. It is experiencing. It is encountering. It is referring to what you desire because you have already experienced it, and you know what it feels like, you know what it sounds like, you know what it looks like, but you know you don't have it. Or maybe I should say, therefore, you know you don't have it. You no longer have it, and you know why. And this is the case with David. He knows that the only way to have joy and gladness, the only way for him to truly rejoice, is for God to be merciful and to clean him up. And we have too many Christians, if I could put it this way, faking a funk. That is, we act like we're joyful and cheerful and happy, and perhaps it is a watered down joy. Perhaps it is a watered down happiness. Perhaps it is this superficial joy that we express because we know we're living in sin. And if we're living in sin, there's no way to have harmony and happiness with God. There's no way to be truly cheerful and joyful, to know the joy and the gladness and to hear it, because God is not communicating joy and gladness in the life of the one who is living in sin. All we have is sorrow and heaviness and a burden that we cannot lift ourselves. All we can do is offer it to God, confess it, and trust in his mercy, hope in his mercy, and call upon him to purify and wash us. And this brings joy and gladness. It gives us the liberty to rejoice, or let me say more specifically, in it, God gives us the liberty to rejoice because he provides the joy and gladness. That's why David wants to hear it. He wants to know it. He wants to experience once again what he knows comes with God. And this is what he desires as he offers himself to God to be purified, to be reconciled. What about you? Are you content with living in sin and acting like or having this low-level joy, the joy of the world? Again, as the songwriter says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And the joy and gladness that God gives, the opportunity to rejoice again, to know the fellowship that we have with God based on his righteousness, based on his mercy, based on his love, and based on his willingness to purge us and wash us. This is true joy and gladness. And this is what David wants to know. You cannot have this. You cannot rejoice living in sin. You cannot rejoice with God. So consider that David is speaking in terms of his relationship with God. Now, you may have joy and gladness with other sinners. You may rejoice with other sinners, but you don't have joy and gladness with God. You don't know this joy and gladness if you're living in sin. And you cannot rejoice in terms of who God is and your relationship and your fellowship with him if you are living in sin. That's impossible. It's contrary to God. So this is what David wants again. And God's judgment has brought him low. He is not in a place of cheer. This is why God calls upon his people when he speaks of the Day of Atonement. And you will find this also in the New Testament, where James says in his letter, be afflicted and mourn. And this is what God calls us to. If we insist on living in sin, we've got to be afflicted and mourn. We got to have sorrow over sin. But too often today, we boast in sin. We rejoice in sin instead of repenting, instead of confessing, instead of acknowledging, instead of calling it what it is, instead of recognizing our need for the mercy of God, the steadfast love of God. We count upon ourselves and we redefine God as the God who endorses sin. And we use the words like the words of David to justify sin rather than using these words to recognize and referring to this psalm, referring to David's repentance, to recognize our need to be made clean by God as we offer ourselves to him and confess, acknowledge and confess our sins. There's no way to know joy if we don't know God. Or if we know God, there's no way to have joy and gladness to rejoice in him if we're living in disobedience to his word and his will. So David, again, as he continues to communicate here concerning his desire for a clean heart and a right spirit, he calls upon God to hide his face from his sins and to blot out all his iniquities. So David calls upon God to turn away from his faults, to turn away from his crime, to not look at it, and to blot out is to rub away, to do away with his sins and his iniquity. This is what David needs, and this is what he desires, and he knows that the only one who is qualified to do this is, again, God himself. God himself must wipe away our sins. And this is, again, who David calls upon. He needs for God to be merciful to him according, not just to God's mercy, but according to God's judgment. And again, this is what we often overlook, is that God is the judge. So God is going to render a verdict. There is judgment of sin. And that's why God calls upon us to repent and confess. And this is what we oftentimes overlook. Sin must be judged. And so we must offer ourselves to God, and we must repent and confess. And David knows that in according to God's judgment, he asked God, in your judgment, to hide your face from my sins. Don't count them against me. Blot out all my iniquities. Wipe them away. Don't count them against me. But it's not just asking God to hide his face and to blot out all of his iniquities concerning David's sin. It is the clean heart that David desires that he expresses in verse 10, a pure heart. And this is, again, this is not the physical heart, as we often lose sight of what's really being communicated in the word of God. When we see these terms, we oftentimes misapply, or we misunderstand, or we just roll through them, and they lose their meaning in terms of our understanding. To have a clean heart is to have his thoughts purified, to have his will cleaned up, where he's not desiring another man's wife, where he understands that this is what God desires, is for us to have a clean heart before him. And it's not just a clean heart in terms of our thoughts, in terms of our will, in terms of our desires. It is a right spirit. So he says to renew a right spirit within me. Fix me. Stand me up. Make me right with you. That's what a right spirit is. A right spirit is according to God. And so we don't understand these things apart from God. We cannot truly understand David's desire apart from God, because his communication is with the only one who can do the work. So there's so many religions out here who talk about, you know, people in religion talk about being clean and having a good heart and a right heart and doing right by people. Listen, if you don't present yourself to God, if you don't confess to God, if you don't acknowledge that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you don't understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, there is no forgiving, there is no forgiveness, there is no redemption, then you don't understand a right relationship with God. You can't do this work yourself, and nobody else can get you to God except the sacrifice that God requires. And this is something that we must understand as part of this process of restoration, that there has to be a sacrifice. And I talked about this the last time, is that there must be a sacrifice. So this is not just David's need, but it is God's provision and God's work. And so for us, as we understand, and as God has provided in the New Testament, then God has provided the sacrifice in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't be made right with God. You can't have a clean heart and a right spirit with God apart from Jesus Christ, because God has provided. God has provided the sacrifice, and therefore our sins are forgiven in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ. And this is how we are made clean, because of the word of God, because of the Lamb of God, because of the work of God. And so this is David's desire here in this prayer, according to the law and the sacrificial system. Even then, the only hope he had was not being justified by the law, not being justified by works, because he's fallen short. He's broken the law and he can't do what the law requires. And therefore, all he can trust in and hope in is the mercy of God. And when God judges, he is asking God to wipe away his guilt. He's guilty. He's not right. He's guilty. And only God can cover the cost, can cover the charges. So I know that as we look at his desire, David's desire for a clean heart and a right spirit, I know from my own experience that this is only possible if we desire according to what is right and pleasing with God. In other words, we must go the way that God provides in order to be cleaned up, washed, have our sins forgiven, and given a clean heart and a right spirit. This is only possible with God. No other way, no other means. So if you want to be upright, if you want to be right with God, then God has to do the work, and God must provide all that we need to be right with him. But we must offer ourselves to God for reconciliation, to be brought into fellowship with him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John is a beautiful letter that is communicated concerning the fellowship that we have with God through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins that we have. So this is what David desires. And he goes on to communicate, as he says in verse 11, picking up in verse 11, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. So this, again, as David is communicating what he desires, he wants to be with God, but he can't be with God in his current state. There has to be a cleansing. There has to be forgiveness. There has to be this extension of mercy and grace. God must do the work. God must do the work. So this is what David wants. He wants to walk with God. He wants to be with God. He wants to know the fellowship that he has had with God. He wants that restored. But God must do the work. But David has to confess and offer himself to God. So God provides all that David needs. Keep in mind that this is in the Old Testament. So the Spirit of God did not dwell his Holy Spirit dwells with believers in the New Testament, because the work of Christ was not yet done. Christ had not yet been revealed. And so this call, this desire expressed by David for God to not take his Holy Spirit from him, has to do again with how God worked in the Old Testament. So we must recognize this. Nobody's saying you lose your salvation. It is just the understanding that God had something better for us in the New Testament. And so it's important for us to understand this in relation to David's words here in verses 11 and 12, where David goes on to say, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. This is the restoration that we talked about, the salvation, the deliverance that is communicated here. As David goes on to say, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. So this is David again, as he's restored, he is communicating that the joy of God's deliverance and God's rescue, as it were, God's help, then results in David's commitment to teach other rebels about the vanity, if you will, of rebelling against God. And he wants to have sinners restored. And this is the desire. And listen, as Paul speaks, where he communicates that God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. This is about restoration. This is about fellowship with God. So as we communicate and are used by God for the work of the ministry, we must understand this is the ministry of reconciliation. The intent in teaching and preaching is to call rebels to obedience, to call rebels to righteousness. And this is only in God, and this is on God's terms. So we must understand the significance of this. And so this is what David says. He must be restored first. He must be rescued, delivered, set at liberty again to serve God. And his serving God and his faithfulness to God and his commitment to God, he says, I'm going to teach the other rebels your ways, and the sinners, the evildoers, the guilty ones, right? The criminals, I'm going to call them back to you according to the teaching. Look at how teaching plays such an important part in this. We got to teach people about what's right and pleasing to God and stop covering sin up and excusing sin as if it were pleasing to God or as if it is pleasing to God. So David goes on to say, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, in verse 14, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Listen, your tongue cannot be set loose if you're living in sin. It may be set loose for other things, but not according to righteousness. If you don't know the salvation of God, if you don't know the righteousness, if you don't know the experience of God's salvation, then you can't sing aloud of the righteousness of God because you don't know it. You haven't experienced it. And so this is what David calls upon God for. And the blood guiltiness is the murder of Uriah. So, you know, David is guilty. He doesn't state otherwise. And this is important for us to understand. And so, you know, it says loose lips sink ships, but they also shout and praise God for his salvation and deliverance. And this is what David desires. And he says, oh, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. And this is what we need. We need to declare the praise of God according to what God has done for us. What he's done for me. I can't forget what he's done for me. And then in verse 16, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. These are the formalities of worship. But he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And this is what God requires. He doesn't require or delight in the formality of religion. Now, good religion is one thing, but just the formality of religion is not what God desires. He desires for us to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And we've got to understand that. We've got to understand that when we come into God's presence, we've got to be broken and true in understanding what he desires of those who seek him and seek to live for him and seek to please him. So we've got to be broken before God, and we've got to know that this is what God desires, particularly as it relates to trying to cover our own sin instead of trusting in God's mercy, confessing our sins and asking God to blot out our sins and to restore us and to cut our lips loose to praise him for the great work that he's done in us and cleaning us up. So we bless God and thank him for this example in David in restoring him according to God's mercy and steadfast love And I pray that you will be encouraged, that if you have sin in your life, that you will confess it to God, that you will ask God to clean you up so that you can be restored, and you will teach others his way so that they will return to him. Until the next time, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.